millions of people lost their homes to foreclosure in the financial collapse roughly a decade ago.
But the story didn't end there. Some people watched the crisis and saw potential.
Before he was president, here's Donald Trump in 2006 speaking in a Trump University audiobook. He was responding to a question about the potential for a real estate market crash.
Well, first of all, I sort of hope that happens because then people like me would go in and buy. You know, if you're in a good cash position, which I'm in a good cash position today, then people like me would go in and buy like crazy.
That was reported by CNN. Trump went on to say he didn't expect that a crash was coming, but then it did.
Aaron Glantz is a senior reporter with Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. He's been looking into stories of people devastated by the housing crisis and the men who profited from it, a number of them close to Trump himself.
He's the author of the new book, Homewreckers, How a Gang of Wall Street Kingpins, Hedge Fund Magnates, Crooked Banks, and Vulture Capitalists suckered millions out of the homes, out of their homes and demolished the American dream. Aaron, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be with you.
Well, Aaron, when people tell the story of the Great Recession, I think it's often, okay, we had the mortgage collapse, things went south, and then we've had a gradual recovery. But you tell a story in your book that behind the scenes, something very fundamental changed in the way that homes are owned in America and who owns those. Can you tell that big picture story before we dig into the details?
Yeah, I mean, I was sitting in my house watching the presidential election in 2016. Watching the tremendous rise of Donald Trump, a right-wing populist for president, and at the same time, the rise of Bernie Sanders, a progressive populist running for president. So we have, you know, supposedly economic good times, low unemployment, high Dow Jones industrial average, and yet millions of people on both the left and right are feeling like everything is going terribly, terribly wrong. So I decided to look at home ownership. We had 8 million homes across America that were lost during the Great Recession. About 100,000 of them were in Wisconsin. And those homes didn't just disappear. You know, they ended up being owned by someone. And so when I looked at the data and I saw that the home ownership rate had gone down every year during the Obama administration, it went down in 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 and 16 until in 2016, it bottomed out at its lowest rate in more than 50 years. And I asked myself, well, who's benefiting from this? Who's taking the wealth when we're losing it? And the answer was the home wreckers.
We'll meet some of the individual home wreckers in a bit, but talk about the process. How did a group of investors on their own, banks, individuals, you name it, how did they get into this industry of picking up these homes?
Well, they came in a variety of ways. You know, the book is focused on one home in the Los Angeles area because these machinations can get so complicated. But then when you look at it in one home, it becomes quite clear. So Sandy Jolly was the Southern California woman. Her parents had scrimped and saved their whole lives to buy this house just north of the city. You know, you find these kind of homes all over America, 1,500 square feet, little patch of lawn, lemon tree out front. He worked for the water department. She worked for a company that printed business and payroll checks. And at the height of the bubble in 2005, shortly before he died, they signed this predatory reverse mortgage that sapped their wealth. And then when the bubble burst, the bank that made that loan failed. And the guy who came in and bought this failed bank off the government, paying the government $0, was a group led by this guy, Steve Mnuchin, who many may know is now our Treasury Secretary. And the agreement that they made with the government agreed to subsidize their foreclosures. So every time he would foreclose on a family, if he took a loss, we, the government, would pay his losses, including his attorney's fees, appraisal costs, you know, inspection costs. And we end up paying Steve Mnuchin's group more than $1 billion as he forecloses on 100,000 families, including 23,000 seniors, just like Sandy Jolly. And then, of course, the house doesn't just disappear after the foreclosure. So Sandy goes to the courthouse. She she tries to stop the auction, and the house is sold to an LLC shell company that rents it back to her. And she ends up paying more than $42,000 in rent to rent from the shell company over the next 18 months. And that shell company turns out to be part of this huge real estate empire that owns more than 30,000 homes all over the U.S. And the man behind that real estate empire is Tom Barrack, Donald Trump's best friend who introduced Ivanka at the convention and planned the inauguration. So that just kind of gives you a flavor of who's involved and how they profited.
Talking to Aaron Glantz about his new book, Home Wreckers, about how some wealthy investors, banks, and others were able to profit from the big foreclosure crisis about 10 years ago. Aaron, we'll dig further into the Trump administration, but you say there's a lot of blame to go around in the initial response to the Great Recession, including what you were just talking about, kind of incentivizing foreclosure with government money.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, people say to me, Aaron, is this an anti-Trump book? And I say, well, you know, I have Steve Mnuchin, this Treasury Secretary, on the cover. He's a foreclosure king. I have Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, on the cover. He's pulling money out of the house. He made a similar deal to the one Mnuchin made, but the bank, failed bank, was in Florida. I've got one of the best friends of the president, Steve Schwarzman, on the cover. You know, his firm now controls 80,000 homes across more than a dozen states. So it used to be, you know, 80,000 families, 80,000 homes. Now one company, 80,000 homes. And then Trump, you know, holding a big wad of cash and say, is this an anti-Trump book? And I say, well, these are the guys who did it. These are the home wreckers. But all of their home wrecking, all of their profiteering was made possible by decisions made during the Obama years. And that's why even when the economy started to improve and jobs came back, the home ownership rate continued to fall to the point where the wealth gap in this country between the top 0.1% of Americans and the bottom 90% is greater than it's been in more than 100 years.
You write that it didn't necessarily have to be that way in the Obama years. There were people making the case that there should be investments made in community redevelopment. There were, at least on paper, requirements that some of these banks negotiate, try to help people negotiate their way out of foreclosure. A lot of opportunities there that you write weren't followed through on. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, that was the most shocking thing that I found actually writing the whole book was the extent to which good people came forward with good ideas and were just summarily ignored throughout this whole decade. I write about how in 2008, former members of the Federal Reserve Board of Governors, former advisors to President Reagan, members of the conservative American Enterprise Institute, you know, so not pinkos, like bipartisan across the board, went to Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you know, who controlled Congress at that time, and said to them, you know, what happened during the Great Depression, which was far worse than what we're experiencing now, was that the government, instead of bailing out the banks, made a gigantic investment in the American people. And President Roosevelt founded this bank called the Home Owners Loan Corporation. It invented the long-term fixed rate mortgage. Before that, there was no such thing. People were given these short-term interest-only loans with balloon payments at the end. But Roosevelt said, we should have a bank that offers, you know, good, solid financial products that people can actually pay back. And they refinanced one out of every five homes in urban America. They saved 1 million homes. And then when the economy started to get better, they took the homes they did have to foreclose on because it was a bank, and they sold them off to other families individually, financing those purchases. And this was brought up as an option at the time of the crash. And I asked the people who brought this up, I said, well, tell me about the debate. Tell me about the lobbying effort against this. And they said that it never even got that far, that these ideas were laughed out by the Democratic leaders when they were brought up, and they didn't even get far enough to be lobbied against. So, you know, this homeowners loan corporation, this government bank, we're told we can't afford this. It made money for the taxpayers, because when you bet on the American people, guess what? They pay back their loans with interest. After World War II, we had the GI Bill, 4 million American veterans were able to buy homes. We broke even on that. So we have the money. We have the ability to build a just and fair society with equal opportunity for everyone, which is the American dream. But instead, what we've done is go down this road of shoveling lots and lots of money at a very small group of people.
We're talking to Aaron Glantz of Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. His new book is called Home Wreckers: How a Gang of Wall Street Kingpins, Hedge Fund Magnates, Crooked Banks, and Vulture Capitalists suckered millions out of the homes and demolished the American dream.
And we want to hear from you. The number is 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the fallout and the profit from the housing crisis? Were you foreclosed on during that time? What happened? And what does owning a home mean to you or maybe your kids today? Call 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org.
We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Keeley Boltina. Right now, we continue the conversation with author and investigative reporter Aaron Glantz. We're talking about the 2008 housing market crash and the people who made money in its aftermath.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What thoughts do you have about the current state of the housing market and where it's heading? What do you think of the government response to foreclosures back in the Great Recession? Is this a story that affected you personally as a homeowner or somebody who couldn't be a homeowner after that? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We just talked about the Obama administration's role here. You touched on now the people who surround President Trump. Can you talk more about who emerged out of this class you call Aaron Homewreckers and into Donald Trump's inner circle?
Yeah, well, we mentioned Steve Mnuchin, who, you know, has been called the foreclosure king for foreclosing on more than 100,000 families and 23,000 seniors. He becomes the Treasury Secretary after, you know, after he was Donald Trump's campaign finance chair. We talk about Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, who also bought a failed bank in Florida and received his group more than $1 billion in government subsidies as he foreclosed. We talk about the president's best friend, Tom Barrack, who used the financial crisis to amass a real estate empire of more than 30,000 homes. And Steve Schwarzman, the co-founder of Blackstone, who now is at the top of an empire owning more than 80,000 homes across more than a dozen states. And the final homewrecker that I like to mention is Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan Chase, the biggest bank in America. This is a bank that has dramatically scaled back its lending to individual families in the decade after the bust, not only during the bust itself, but reducing its lending even during the economic recovery. This same bank is extending billions in credit to corporate landlords like Schwarzman and Barrack. If you go to some individual homes in places like Chicago or Los Angeles or Houston or Atlanta, you will find 1,500 square foot homes, 2,000 square foot homes, 800 square foot homes that have liens on them of almost $1 billion. And that's because these Wall Street landlords are able to bundle all these homes together and take out enormous amounts of debt that their tenants are paying off with increasing rent. And that is all made possible by the financing of big banks like Chase.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Nick is with us in New Richmond. Nick, hi.
Hi. Hey, I think education plays a part in what happened. I bought a foreclosed house in that time period where, so I think education against predatory, I don't know if I want to call them a home wrecker because I do believe in capitalism. But as far as when I went to the bank, they told me I qualified for a $325,000 house. And I said, man, you're crazy. I can't afford a $325,000 house. They told me, well, you qualify. Well, I set my standard at $150,000 house, and that's what I set out to do where if there's a collapse in the markets, I'm not going to lose my house.
But Nick, thanks a lot for the call. And Aaron, a lot of people point toward, okay, well, did a lot of individuals get greedy and take banks up on their free credit at the time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the caller is exactly right. What I'm just trying to do is move the debate forward a little bit, right? Whatever you think of those foreclosures themselves, if we lived in kind of a just capitalistic society where there was equal opportunity for everyone, then you might have some losses by people who are greedy, and then you might have winners who are other family members or other, you know, small people like me. I bought a house during the Great Recession. It sounds like the caller also was able to benefit. But in the main, what we've seen is a huge transfer of wealth from millions of individual families to a very small group of corporate landlords. We now have 3 million homes and 15 million apartments in this country that are controlled by LLC, LP, and LLP shell companies, right? That is new. We didn't have that before. And so that is why, I wrote this book, Homewreckers.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Laura with us in Marshfield. Laura, hi.
Hello. Back in 04 and 05, I, as a single person, had bought myself a house, and I had it for 8 years when I got behind by 1 month. And I was making my payments, but they were 1 month late. And after 3 months, the bank foreclosed on me. I had $70,000 in equity that I lost. I don't know. Now it's how many years later, and I'm paying $600 in rent, and I just can't get back on my feet to even get back into a house because no lender will look at me now.
Laura, thank you so much for that call. Laura, not alone, Aaron. A lot of people found themselves on foreclosure, in some cases, after a brief setback of a month or two.
Yeah, I mean, the famous case is Steve Mnuchin foreclosed on a 90-year-old woman. His bank foreclosed on a 90-year-old woman in Florida who owed 27 cents. That happened, right? The incentives were all wrong. And the reason the incentives were all wrong was because the banks were given this gigantic bailout, and then they were told to help people. But even if they didn't help people, even if they revved up their foreclosure machine, there was no one watching the store. And the really important thing from your caller is that here we are more than a decade later, and she is still renting. Right, she has been unable to get back into the homeownership situation. And, you know, we live in a country where the average homeowner is worth $200,000 and the average renter is worth $2,000. And that's because most of your listeners, like me, spend most of their income every month on essentials like food, transportation, clothing, health insurance premiums, and all of the money that I just mentioned. As soon as you spend that health insurance premium, it's gone. It's never coming back. The only way for people to spend money and save money at the same time is through their mortgage payment. And if you pay for housing and it's a mortgage payment, then you can be building equity for your family. And if it is a rental payment, then you're going to be building wealth for your landlord. It's just that simple. And the concern now is with these home wreckers in charge, it's going to be harder and harder for people to get back into home ownership again.
Laura, thanks for the call. We're talking to Aaron Glantz, author of the new book, Home Wreckers. Back to your calls. Tim is with us in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi. I have two questions, one looking back, one looking forward. The one looking back, there was a movie a few years ago about people who were making money by betting that these mortgages were going to fail, some sort of, I don't know, insurance. I still don't understand how that whole movie worked and how people made money off of it. And then the second one is, with the rise in student debt, who's going to be around to buy these houses with people's credit scores not doing so great because a lot of us aren't paying our student loans like we should?
Tim, thanks for the call. I think he's talking about The Big Short there, Aaron, and I think in 3 minutes we're not going to explain credit default swaps successfully. So let's focus on his second question.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just one thing I wanted to say about The Big Short is I agree that we're not going to have time to get into it too much. But just remember that these people that I'm writing out, they're the people who came in after that whole story, mm-hmm. right? They're the people who profited off of the next thing after the foreclosures had already happened and the market had already crashed. And I do think that sometimes we are so traumatized and so confused by what happened in 2007 and 2008 that we forget that it's now 2019 and a full decade has passed. And that's what my book is about.
Right. And Tim asking about student debt, who's going to buy these houses. In many cases, Aaron, it sounds like these companies, often shell companies that own these houses, aren't selling. They're renting them now, right?
Right. They're renting them out. So a lot of this property is being taken off the market for people to buy. It's being held by shell companies owned by big Wall Street firms. And then what you have is you have people dealing with, you know, very significant crippling student debt. And at the same time, their rent continues to go up, which makes it even harder for folks to save for a down payment, right? Because as I mentioned, these homes are being leveraged. These companies are taking out debt against these homes, and then they're having the tenants pay off that debt. So instead of you paying off your mortgage and gaining equity, you are paying off the debt of your corporate landlord. But, you know, be that as it may, all these problems are solvable. You know, I talked earlier about how during the Great Depression, the government made a big investment in home ownership, saved the economy and made money, right? So, it doesn't need to be all gloom and doom. We just need to take a step back and know that there is another way.
Good place to leave it, Aaron. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Aaron Glantz, senior reporter at Reveal and the Center for Investigative Reporting. Talked to him about the way a number of people made money off the housing crisis. He tells that story in his new book. It's called Home Wreckers.